thank the Lord for being here in Guthrie again, and I thank the Lord for everyone. I heard from several people that they've been praying for the meeting, so I'm praying even harder now. It's here, and we need the Lord to help us, and we desire that you would pray for us. You know, one thing is I believe in praying myself. So I say pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. I want to make it very plain and very clear what God has for us today. All right, if you will, turn with me to 1 Peter, the first chapter, and I want to read a little bit there, starting at about the third verse, and I want to read down. We want to talk about the trying of our faith. We're living in a time nowadays that our faith is going to be tried. We're going to come up across some things, and we see some things in the public sector that we are, as Christians, we're going to have to deal with on a more regular basis than what we've had to deal with before. And we need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord to bless us, and we need to understand what we're up against. All right, if you'll start at the first Peter, the first chapter, and we'll start at the third verse, please. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Had you ever thought about every one of us has a reservation in heaven? Every one of us that have that were born, the Lord put our little name on a little card, so to speak, or a little crown, whatever you want to call it. The Lord says, when we were born, there is a reservation in heaven for you. That's wonderful, isn't it? Yes. But you know, one of the things is you're going to have to meet whatever the requirement is. You're going to have to meet that in order to go to heaven to get to cash in your reservation. So it says, reserved in heaven for you. Read, please. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Another thing that we need to have a clear understanding of, we are kept by the power of God. It is not something that we can do in and of ourselves, that we're so determined that I'm going to live right, that I can do it by myself. We cannot do it by ourselves. It requires the power of God. And the only way that I have access, or you have access, to that power is through faith. We've got to trust. We've got to believe that God can do the things that we are asking him to do. We've got to believe that the Lord has the ability to keep me if I want to be kept. I believe that he has. Now, the Lord has kept me for many, many years. It has not been because we haven't had trials and tests and temptations and situations that we had to deal with. It is that by the power of God, God gives us a greater power to override the things that we're coming against, all right, that are coming against us, all right? Who are kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we love, in whom though now we see him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul. So we see that faith is very important, and the Lord is going to try our faith. We're going to be in situations that our faith is going to be tried. Probably most of us are in situations right now where there is a trial of our faith. So it says here that the trial of your faith being I want to back up a little bit. It says, though we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Now, sometimes we don't feel like when we're going through trials and tests and heaviness and problems and situations that we find ourselves in, we don't see the need in our own spirit, that we don't see the need most of the time until we get out of it. Sometimes we complain about it. We ask the Lord, Lord, why am I going through this? Why do I have to deal with the things that I'm dealing with right now? And the Lord says that there is a need in your soul. I look at it like this. Sometimes I was talking to my sister yesterday. She's a very sick woman and she needs the Lord to help her. And one of the wonderful things about this sickness is she gave her heart to the Lord. It's wonderful. Now, we look at it like this, that this is a terrible thing that's come up on an individual. It's a very painful kind of cancer, and it's not. And she's a good woman. She's a nice person, and she's one. And sometimes I don't understand why the Lord does it, but the Lord knows if we need a particular thing. He said in one place, "I will supply all your needs according to your riches and my riches and glory by Christ Jesus." The Lord knows what we need. Sometimes we don't know what we need. But the Lord says, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. There is something that comes out of the heaviness that we're in when things are coming against us and there is a great level of temptation. There is something that the Lord wants to show us. There is a trial of our faith. We need that, don't we? Why? Because receiving the end of our faith is what? The salvation of our souls. So I want to make certain, let me tell you what I want to do. I want to make certain that when I buy a car, they've tested it, right? I want them to have tested it. I want them to have gone through the process of it. I believe also when in an airplane, when somebody when Boeing makes an airplane, do you suppose that they put it out, American Airlines put their stencils on the side, paints it, and then all of a sudden, before it's ever tested, everybody gets in and flies up in the air before it's tested? Do you suppose that there are test pilots? Do you suppose that there's somebody that gets this thing off the ground and makes certain that it performs like it needs to perform? All right, it's going through rigorous tests. All right, rigorous tests. Well, in the same way, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith. Let me tell you, when I want to make certain that my faith is working like it needs to be, is when I stand before the Lord. All right? When I stand before the Lord, I want to make certain that I have faith in Him. It says here, whom having not seen, we love. In whom, though now we see Him not, yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to know when I stand before the Lord that everything's all right with me. How am I going to know that? I'm going to know that before I ever get there. There is an opportunity for me to have a clarity and an understanding of what God is requiring of me right now. He's going to take me through some difficult places, and He's going to see whether or not I'm able to stand and whether or not I'm able to do what He designed and requires me to do. And then if I fail, then He gives me the grace and the power. He wants to see me get through this. He doesn't want to see us fail, does He? All right? Now let's go to another scripture. Let's go to 22nd chapter of Luke. Start at the 31st verse there. Luke 22, verse 31. If you have it, read it for us. Yes. Simon, Simon. All right, do you realize that the Lord is not just saying this to Simon, the Lord is saying it to you as well? Do you realize the things that are in the Scripture is not just for somebody else? It's just some arbitrary thing that God put in the Scripture. It's for you. It's a personal thing. So the Lord is saying this to Simon. He's also saying it to you. He gives us kind of a backdrop of what's going on in the spirit realm. He opens it up to Peter, and he begins to talk to Peter about what Peter is getting ready to go through. Now, there are going to be some of us that are going to go through some very difficult and hard trials. But I want us to understand that the Lord is going to be with you. He doesn't want to see you fail. He does not want you to fail. And He's made every provision for you and for me not to fail. Whatever it is that we're going through, the Lord will give us what we need to stand true and be faithful to Him in this time world. All right? Read, please. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. So the Lord is telling Simon, He sent Simon, and He sent it to him twice. He sent Simon, Simon. So in other words, you remember sometimes when our parents, I remember my mother, when she would use my middle name, she wanted me to pay attention to what I said. Daryl Alphaeus. When she said it twice, Daryl, I want you to listen to what I'm saying. This is what the Lord is saying to Simon. Simon, Simon, I want you to get I want you to have a special understanding that I'm trying to get something over to you that I know that you need to know is very important. This is what the devil has been trying to do. There's been a conversation apparently in the background, behind the scenes, and he said, I'm going to give you a little portion of what that conversation is all about. The devil has desired to have you that he could sift you as wheat. He wants to completely annihilate you. He wants to just grind you up beyond recognition. One of the things that I've said to people over time, the devil is not your friend. He is not a plaything. Don't play with him. It's a serious thing. If you're going to be on the devil's territory, let me know. I want you to know that the devil is going to try to destroy you with everything that he has. The only thing that stands between you and not being destroyed by the devil is that the grace and mercy of God. That God can stand between us and he can make sure, no, I'm not even though, yes, you, there are certain things that you deserve. Do you realize that if I'm doing something or you're doing something that belongs to the devil, that the devil has rights with that? You can write a contract in essence and you can say, listen, if you drink this cup of water, then I own you. Now there, it's written there, and if you sign on the dotted line, if you decide that you're going to do some particular thing, and that thing belongs to me, and as long as you're holding it, there is a response, an obligation that I have to that particular thing. This is why we don't play with the devil. This is why we lay everything down, that if the devil has touched it, if his signature is on it any kind of way, I don't want to have anything to do with it. The reason being is because if it belongs to him, here are the things. Somebody can let you borrow something, for instance. And they can give you, there are certain stipulations that go along with it, all right? So you go someplace and you borrow something. All right, if you borrow this, here are my expectations. Or whatever it may be. If you have these things, I have a certain expectation that this is what you're going to do, all right? And I have a right to do that, or else, if you don't want to do it, then never mind. There's too many strings attached. And if there's too many strings attached, I don't have to do it, right? But let me tell you, every single thing that the devil has, everything that he owns, there's a string attached to it. There's something that he wants to get from you if you use this particular thing that he has. So he says to Peter, the Lord says to Peter, he says, Peter, I want you to clearly understand that Satan has desired to have you to sift you as wheat. So don't touch anything that he has, because as long as you have something that belongs to him, he has a right to you. Do you realize that? As long as you are doing some kind of sin, maybe everybody doesn't know about it, maybe it's a private thing, maybe it's something that you don't have to expose to everybody, but there is some right that he has to you, and there is some right that he has to wreak havoc in your life. All right? You need to know that. And so the best thing for all of us is to make certain that if the devil has it, don't touch it. Because he has a right to sift you as wheat. But the Lord said, all right, there's something here. I prayed for you. Do you know the Lord has prayed for every one of us? You know, that's encouraging to me. When I go through the trials and the tests of life, the things that I'm faced with, do you realize that I am thankful? Sometimes I have to remind myself, not only am I praying, but you know what? There's something special about it. My mother was a praying woman. And when we got into trouble, you know what we did? We picked up the phone and we called Mama. Listen, we're going through something. Would you pray for us? And we could almost not pray ourselves and know that she's going to pray it through. We should pray ourselves, but you understand what I'm saying. When you have that kind of support, then you realize, Mama's gone now. But you know, I believe that one of the reasons some of her children are getting saved, and one of the reasons right now that my sister is saved, it's not just because she's sick, it was because her mother prayed for her. And her mother's been gone. Our mother's been gone for over 10 years, but she prayed for that girl. And she would say oftentimes, pray for Shirley. Pray for her. I'm telling our business, I don't think she'd mind. I want you to pray for her. She needs prayer right now. But I believe that prayer, not only did she pray for a year, 20, 30 years ago, when she was in desperate need of prayer, but I believe that prayer still lingers and the Lord still honors that prayer. I believe the Lord still honors it. And so not only then, but just think about how long ago the Lord prayed for you. He said, pray for Peter. Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fails not. So there is this barrier between what the devil is trying to do and what you're going to do, there's this barrier. I pray for you that your faith fails not. And then what did he say? He said, but you're going to fail. But you're not going to be a failure. There's a difference. A failure is a person that falls down and doesn't get up. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought, well, you know what, I just can't live this life. It seems like I've tried 100 times, and it seems like I just have to give up every time. I can't do it. That's a failure. I'm not going to try it anymore. But a person that says, you know what, I'm going to try it one more time. I know people that have backslidden, gotten saved, and backslid 5, 6, 7 times. It seemed like they could keep it, but they kept trying. Then all of a sudden they got a hold of it, and they got anchored in it, and it seemed like they went on for the Lord. Some of them have gone on and died. I know their history. You don't have to fail. You don't have to be a failure, even if you fail. There's probably not a person in here that has not failed in some kind of spiritual experience that they've had. Probably none of us. We have not made all A pluses and 100% on every trial and every temptation that we've ever been through. There have been some skint knees and some skint palms, and we've fallen down, but we've gotten back up by the grace of God. And I'm not preaching that we fall and get up and fall and get up. I'm not preaching that kind of it, because I'm saying here that the Lord has the power and the authority to be able to give us victory in our lives consistently. I believe that. But there have been some trials that we didn't make the grade that we wanted to make on it. And so we say, well, you know, I can either throw in the towel and give it all up, or I can try it again. And you know what? We get up and we try it again, and you know the Lord gives us the victory, and we say, you know what? I'm going to be a little bit more careful next time I go to this particular situation and these kind of circumstances. I'm not going to be so confident in myself. I'm not going to be so confident in my ability. I'm not kept by my power. I'm not kept because I'm a strong-willed individual, and this is what I'm going to do, and no one can keep me from it. The devil has your number. He knows exactly what he can do to trip you up. I'm kept by the power of God through faith. The only way that I can maintain my integrity with the Lord, the only way you can maintain your integrity with the Lord is by the power of God through faith. Lord, I believe you're going to do this. I believe you're going to help me in this situation. And I believe that I'm going to go through this trial like I need to go through it, and I'm going to be victorious. When I believe that in my mind, you know, every trial that I believe that I could go through and I did it the right way, I went through it with victory. Isn't that wonderful? All right, so he says, where are we? Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. This is what he wants to do to you. So apparently there was this conversation in the background, behind the scenes, in the spirit realm. And maybe there was something about Peter that was not completely given over to the Lord. Maybe there was this arrogance about him. He was a man that thought before he spoke, spoke before he thought. He was a man that was very impetuous. He did things at the spur of the moment. He just didn't even think about it. He just did it. I don't know. I don't know if that was something, but I don't know if there was something deep in his heart that the Lord wanted to change about Peter. And maybe something that he harbored in his heart a little bit. Maybe he thought he was much higher than what he was. And the devil says, if he trips up, I want him. I want to sift him as wheat. I'm not just going to just kind of hit him upside the head. I'm going to destroy him. That's what the devil's trying to do with every one of our lives. He's trying to destroy us. This is why you see people that go down so quickly. Lord, have mercy. He says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. Now, what he's saying to Peter is, Peter, you're going to fail. You think you have the ability. And here's what Peter says to him, and he said, 33rd verse, please.
And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go.
That's what we all say, isn't it? Oh, Lord, I'm ready to go with you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to fail you in this trial. I'm ready to go with you. Our faith is going to be tested to see exactly where it is. And once we know where it is, we know what kind of work we need to do on it, don't we? We know that if it needs a little strengthening, we know, dear Lord, I'm a little weak in this area. I know, Lord, that I thought I had I thought I had more on hand than what I really have, Lord, and I'm very disappointed that I didn't make a higher grade on that test. Have you ever studied for a test in school and you thought you understood the concept, and then when you got back the paper, there was something about it, there was something that you got wrong about it, some part of the concept that you didn't clearly understand and you thought you understood it? This is what happened to Peter. I think I understand what I need to do in order to go through this. He says here, oh Lord, I am ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. Now, generally speaking, there is a process that happens when we're going to prison. There is a trial that goes on, doesn't it? They don't just, in our day and time, they don't just send someone to prison. They have to have evidence. They have to have a trial that is going to go forth. He said, Lord, I'm willing to go with you. Now, what we find out, and for the sake of time, we won't go through this, but what we find out that happens to Peter is that Peter follows the Lord afar off, doesn't he? He follows him, and all the other disciples, they didn't follow him afar off, did they? They ran in another direction. All of the other disciples deserted him, but Peter wants to far off. I want to see what's happening. Again, this is Peter's personality. The other ones had enough sense to know, listen, I can't do this. This is Jesus' trial, and it's not mine. It's his trial of faith, and I'm not going to insert myself into it because I don't have what it takes to be able to go through it. But Peter, watching afar off, and the Lord tells Peter, Peter's saying, Lord, I'll go to prison with you. All right, let's go to the trial then. Let's go to the trial. And so Peter is following the Lord afar off. He sees him over there going to be tried. The Lord realized and understood for himself that I need to stay in this garden and I need to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane until I have a clarity in my mind that I can go through that without coming down off that cross. That I can let them slap me and spit on me and I can let them talk about me and all these other things. Lord had power. Jesus Christ had power not to do it, not to allow it to happen. But he said, I've got to get the level, if you'll allow me to use it in this term, I've got to get the level of victory. I'm using that term because I don't know any other way to do it. I've got to pray for myself, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I want, it's what you want. Thy will be done. The Lord had to submit his will to the Father's will. We have to do that too, don't we? We've got to submit it to the Lord, to God's will. Lord, whatever I'm going through, I'm willing to submit it to his will. And so Jesus had a clear understanding that the trial of his faith was keeping his own will submitted completely to the Father's will. Now that was a hard thing when all he had to do was blow and they would fall over. All he had to do was think the word and they would fall over. He had a great power. It was the power of God that kept him submitted to be able to go to this trial. So he's in the trial. It's his trial. Peter is following afar off, watching, and then all of a sudden he comes to the understanding, you know what, I don't have what I need. And the Lord had already told him this. And he's saying, oh Lord, I go to prison with you. Well, let's go to the trial first, Peter. You're going to have a trial of faith. This is your trial of faith. He said, when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. So what the Lord told Peter before it ever happened, the Lord told Peter, you're going to fall, but you're going to get back up. You're going to fail me. You're going to deny three times tonight. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter is saying, Lord, I'm not going to do that. And we've said those kinds of things. Lord, I'm not going to do that. I have the power by your grace not to do that. But sometimes we put ourselves in situations that we shouldn't be in the first place. And because we put ourselves in a situation that we shouldn't be in the first place, we don't have the power to stand. And so what the Lord wants us to do, keep yourself out of the situation. Now, you might have said, well, at least he followed him afar off. The other ones didn't desert him. The other ones had a clear on the other one. I'm sorry. The other ones didn't deny him. They deserted him while he went through through his trial. Now, Peter would have been better off in one sense, if you understand what I'm saying here, to follow them, to say, Lord, you know, we're going to be over here praying for you because we don't feel like we have the power that we need to be able to stand with you over here. Lord, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes we need to just acknowledge where we are. Sometimes we need to say, you know what? I just don't have that level of power to be able to do what is expected of me. But Lord, I'm not going to be found in this place again. I'm going to be in a place where I can get the level of victory that I need, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that. All right? Well, now we're converted. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I'm going to help you out. I prayed for you. And when you fall and you skint your knees, get back up and go help your brothers. Take your focus off of yourself and all your failures and all your failings. But let them, we sing a song sometime that says, press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. And not only do our failings, not only can our failings prove a blessing to us, but they can prove a blessing to other people. Do you know how I can tell folks, as a pastor, how I can tell folks what not to do? Is because there are some of the things I did and I made some mistakes. And the Lord gives me that understanding. He gives the clarity. Don't do these things. Don't make these kinds of mistakes. All right. So he says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brothers. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. So may the Lord help us to realize that we've got to follow the Lord the way he wants us to follow him. We've got to understand that God gives us what we need to be able to go through every test and every trial. We've got to understand that we are kept by the power of God through faith, receiving the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our soul. I want to be saved. So ultimately, in order to be saved in the end, when I stand before the Lord, I'm going to have faith in a God that I've never seen with the physical eye. That's what faith is. I'm going to have a spiritual connection and a spiritual understanding with the God of all creation when I stand before him. And the way that he takes us through it, the way he prepares us for that great day is going through the trials that we go through on a day-to-day basis. Lord, I've got to be faithful to you today. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I've got to be faithful today. I don't have to worry about my failures of yesterday. I use them as experiences to get me beyond this area. And I use them and I build on top of them. But it's the grace of God today that he gets me through the things that I must go through. All right? All right. So there is a recovery, isn't it? I want to read a scripture about Jesus and go to John 17. And let's start at 15. Yes. Now, this is who's talking? Who's praying this? Jesus. And who is he praying to? The Father, all right? He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we like folks, and I know that we're getting into a time now that there are fewer prayer warriors than there used to be in times past, right? You used to have several people that you can call and pray, and you knew that they were going to pray your prayer through. We have fewer than we did. We still have them. And let me tell you something. The interesting thing is all of us can be that person that prays the prayer of faith. The Lord is no respecter of persons. All right, read.
They are not of the world.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. Now, you know who that's talking about very specifically? That's talking about you. That's talking about me. That's talking about every one of us that have made the determination in our hearts that, you know what, because of what Paul preached, because of what Peter preached, because of what the individuals that have passed it down from generation to generation, because of what they have preached, I believe. I believe the Lord can save me from my sins, and not only save me, but the Lord can keep me. And I believe that because it's been passed down, and not only has it been passed down, it came to me, it was presented to me, and I tried it. There was a time in my life that I didn't try it, but I said, let's try this, because the way that I'm doing things is not really working out like I thought that they should and like I really want them to. And so I decided I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to ask the Lord to have mercy on me, and it works. I have the experience that it works, that you can live a righteous and a holy life. Your life can be better than the lives that are around you. Your life can be better for the things that you're going through. God will still be faithful to you. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've experienced it. He says, so neither do I pray for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So what that means is that I literally believe that the Lord called out my name in prayer, in spirit. He saw down through the Spirit and through the annals of time. He saw all of us that would ever believe. And he says, I'm praying for them. that their faith won't fail. I'm praying that when they go through the trials and the issues of life, when they go through their faith is tried, that they won't fail. I'm praying for them as well. Do you know the Lord prayed for you? Isn't that wonderful? I thank the Lord for that. Now, I want us to go to Daniel, the third chapter, and I want us to read starting at the first verse. The Lord's put this on my mind, my heart. Very, very familiar text of Scripture. Daniel 3. If you have it, read it, please. Yes. Now, this is a very interesting passage of Scripture. And I think it's pertinent to us because of what we're going through. In a few days, on Tuesday, we'll find out who our next president is. Have y'all been praying as hard as we have? We've been praying really hard. I don't know that we've ever prayed as hard for a presidential election as we're praying for. We prayed really hard for others. Well, this one, I'm not here. I'm not a politician, and I'm not going to say a lot about it. But we're in trouble as a nation, aren't we? And we need the Lord to have mercy on us. And there are some things that have already happened political system that I'm highly disappointed about. And there is a light persecution. It's starting, just now starting, for those of us that stand firm on the things of God, on the Word of God. There is a strong push for us to sympathize and with things that are wrong. A bakery up in Oregon had to close down because of their religious convictions, they would not make a cake for a same-sex wedding. Now, we should have the right not to do that, shouldn't we? And there are probably other bakeries that didn't have that kind of an issue. There's a woman somewhere in the South, I forget where she was, that had to, her conviction was, I'm not going to issue license to people that are of the same sex. That seems like something that we should have a right to step aside and do. But that's not happening now, is it? And it's going to not only not happening now, but it's only going to get worse. And not only that, but that's just a little bitty thing that's going to usher in a whole lot of other nonsense and depravity in our nation. And the word is very plain. It says, righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. Now, we want to take the moral high road. But, you know, sometimes we almost don't have a moral high road to take anymore. I'm talking about in the general sense of our nation. We do. It's always going to be a choice that we make. But here is a situation that I think that we need to pray for. And we need to be able to be willing to maintain our integrity, our convictions, when our faith is tried in this regard. When it's tried in the political realm. When some of the persecutions that we have, think about individuals behind the Iron Curtain years ago, that there was a political thing that came against the people of God. Lord says in one place, beware of the leaven of Herod. You know what the leaven of Herod is? It's a political leaven. We got to beware of those things. The Lord says in one place, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, then would they fight for me? Those that are my followers, they would fight for me. He said, but my kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom is not of the world. We can pray and God can move. God can do something special. And if He chooses not to, we can pray for ourselves that we can stand firm and true even in the midst of this crooked and perverse. And that's what we have, a crooked and perverse generation. Our politicians are crooked and they're perverse. The things that they are opening up as normal is perverted. And it's becoming the norm. And we're having to submit ourselves to this. We must stand firm and have the conviction that God wants us to have in the midst of this crooked and perverse generation. If we don't do it, who's going to do it? And we don't just, as the song went forth with the children saying, we're not going to hide it under a bushel. This is what I stand for. Like it or not, this is what I stand for. All right, read, please.
Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height was 3 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits.
Yes.
And set it up in the plain
Yes.
He gathered together the princes, the governors, captains,
judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. All right, so this is Nebuchadnezzar. He's the king. And what he's doing, he's gathered together who? The princes. Those are those that are under him. Those people that are in the governing powers, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, the rulers of the provinces, to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. And probably at the initial onslaught, I don't know what the circumstances were, but perhaps at the initial onslaught, the king's getting ready to do something. We're going to come to an inauguration. It's something that we can show our pomp and circumstances and have wonderful whatever. And they come and they find something out. Read, please. They stood before the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
Then the herald cried aloud to you at his commandment.
All right, the herald cried aloud to you at his commandment that, O people, and nations, and languages. Now, I want us to understand here that it's not says that there's a suggestion that you do this. Or if you want to do it, you can. If you don't really feel like doing it, you can kind of stand over to the side. It was a commandment that the king made, a decree that in essence, if you don't do it, you're going to be in trouble. All right, read.
Then at what time you hear the sound of the
cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up, and whosoever falleth not down and worship it shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, there are going to be some trying of our faith. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Sometimes we feel like that, don't we? We feel like the trials that we're going through are sort of fiery trials. So he says here that if you don't do the things that I'm telling you to do, if you don't fall down and worship this image, then you're going to go through a very severe situation. It's either do it or die. There's no in between. Well, I have rights. And I'm going to appeal my rights and I'm going to go straight up to the top and I'm going to go to the Supreme Court if it's necessary, but I'm not going to do these kinds of things. Supreme Court. So there's a democratic process that we can go through, but who are you going to go to? What recourse do these individuals have? Because he gathered together who? The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the folks that had the money. These were the movers and the shakers. These people are all bought and paid for. And it doesn't really matter what you do. You got to go through the democratic process if you want to. And you can demand your rights and do all the things that you want to. And you can go up to the Supreme Court. But you know, they're fighting on the Supreme Court right now. They're fighting about the additional justice, right? Because they don't want another liberal judge going in there. They want hopefully they'll get a conservative and they'll kind of balance the system out. But you know what? It's six here, half a dozen there. It really is. What's our recourse? Our recourse is, we have one recourse. We can't go through the political system. We got to go to the Lord. Let me tell you something, saints. You can pray and God will change. When you stand firm for the Lord changes the situation. We don't have to go. There wasn't a trial that they went to the Supreme Court. They went to the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Didn't go all the way up and appeal it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Shadrach and Abednego appealed it all the way to the Judge of Judges.
Amen.
The Judge of all the earth. When they began to talk to him and they began to say, well, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, somebody looked at him and they said, listen, there's some folks over there that ain't doing what we're having to do. I don't want to have to bow down before it. Maybe they thought it was stupid. I don't want to have to bow down to this big old whatever it is. I don't want to do that, but you know what? Let's just use a little wisdom here. Either I'm going to do that or I'm going to get my head chopped off. So you make the decision. I'm going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. I've got to do it. I have nobody to appeal to. I go to all the friends here, the governors, the princes, the sheriffs, the treasurers, all these individuals I've gone to, and they feel the same way that I do. But you know what? There are those that are pulling with the king, and the only way that I'm going to not go to this trial is that I'm going to die. So what do they do? Read, please.
Then
they shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, sound, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the image, golden image, that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. You know what? We have, there is a temptation, a strong pressure for us to bow down to a lot of things. Not in our heart, but just kind of acquiesce. I'm not going to say anything, and I'm not going to do it, and I'm going to bow down here because everybody else is watching, and I'm going to bow down here like everybody else is doing, but Lord, you know my heart. You know that I'm not going to do this. But I'm doing it on the outside. If you're doing it on the outside, then there's something about the inside that's causing the outside to bow down. Lord, help us. So there are things that we're bowing down to, if we're not careful, that we need the Lord to deliver us from. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just said, you know what, we're not going to do it. We're just not going to do it. We're going to stand firm for the Lord. We're going to be faithful, even though our faith is going to be tested and tried, and we might go through the fiery furnace. We might not. We don't know what God is going to do, but we do know what we're not going to do. We're not going to bow down. And that's what you and I need to have, the conviction in our heart that, Lord, it doesn't matter what happened. I'm not going to bow down to that. I'm not going to bow down to what everybody is expecting me to bow down. I'm not going to bow down to what's out in the world today. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to have the conviction. If it kills me, I'm going to do it. And it has to start in the little bitty trials. It starts with the little bitty things that I'm going to be faithful in this, Lord, and then it builds up, and then it builds up. And this wasn't all that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faithful to. They were faithful in the little things. They maintained their integrity when the Lord just said, trust me for this. I've got this. And they said, all right, Lord, we're going to trust you. We don't see how it's going to happen like that, but we're going to trust you anyway. And then something a little bigger happened. And then before you know it, here's the trial with the fiery furnace, as though some strange thing happened to them. And they were able to go through that as well. All right, read.
Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near.
They came near. And they accused the Jews.
They spake and said
unto the king Nebuchadnezzar,
O king, live forever.
Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the, yes, the music, yes, they shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. See, they're not listening to you. They're not listening to you. See, why you got to go and tell on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do what you're going to do, but no, well, probably because they didn't want to do it either. Have you ever, when you were a child, went and told on somebody because you didn't want to do what mama was telling you to do? And well, mama said do this, and you ain't doing it. Well, maybe I don't have to do it either. Well, they told you to do it, right? So they're going to go and tell on them just to see how the response and the reaction is going to be. I don't want to do it either. So if you can get away with it, I should be able to get away with it as well. All right, read.
They serve not thy God,
nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. His rage and fury. Yes. They brought the men before the kings. Yes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you not serve my gods or worship the golden image which I have set up?
Have ye be ready?
Be ready?
Yes. I'll just
skip down. Yes, please. Yes.
But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning
They'll be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace.
And who is that God?
He didn't know the Lord, did he? But you know, saints, sometimes the problems and the issues that we go through, we don't understand them. But the reason that the Lord allows us to go through them is to show the Lord to other people. that they can see in the trial that you're going through, that they can see God in the midst of it. The burning fiery furnace, they can see the Lord in the midst of it. And so the Lord wanted you to go through it, even though you don't understand it. You're kept by the power of God through faith. He wants you to go through it because other people can see the Lord, all right? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So in other words, we're set and settled that this is what we're going to do. We're not going to go the way that you're wanting us to go, whatever the consequences. We realize that there may be consequences. And I don't believe that they put their hands on their hip and told them like this. I believe they said it with all humility. We're not going to do this. We feel that we can't go against what God is. And this is a trial of my faith right now. And I believe God is going to take us through it. He's going to deliver us out of your hand. If we have to go through the fiery furnace, we're going to go through it. But God is going to deliver us. I want you to know and to understand that whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you potentially will go through, God will be there. He's already in the furnace. He's already tested the temperature. He already knows whether or not you're going to be able to go there without the smell of smoke or without any, if it's too hot for you or not. He already knows that. We know the story, don't we? So they did it 7 times hotter. The Lord knew it. Let them get it as hot as they want to get it. But we're kept by the power of God through faith. Even in the midst of the furnace. Even in the midst when the fire is 7 times hotter. We're kept by the power of God through faith. Lord, help us. Help us to believe that we can make it by the grace and the power of God, whatever it is. And so they threw the man in there. And what did he do? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? He saw himself as being somebody with a great authority. He did have great authority, didn't he? But he did not have authority over the Lord. No one here on this earth does. So what happened when they threw him in the burning fiery furnace? What Nebuchadnezzar said, I see how many men? 4. Walking them out, loose, they bound them up. They threw them in the burning fiery furnace. The ones that threw them in were slain as a result of the heat, right? But these men fell in there. They went through the fire. And what happened? He said, I see 4 men, and one looks like the Son of God. How did he know how the Son of God looked? He said, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? The Lord revealed himself to this man, and not just this man. You suppose all the governors and the sheriffs and the judges and all of them had left too? Let's say they're the ones that brought him to it. We want to make certain that we see justice. They're going to be there too. If we got to do it, you got to do it too. And now we've had the trial. We've gone before him. Now here's the trial. Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you're not falling down and worshiping what we're telling you to look? Yeah, it's true. Oh, by your own mouth, you're going to be condemned. By the words that you speak, you're going to be condemned. How dare you say that to me? Do you know who I am? And so they threw him in the furnace. And now all these sheriffs, all of the judges, all of the governors, the princes, the kings, the king leading, he sees 4 men, and the 4th looks like it's the Son of God. It's the trial of your faith. Do people see the form of the Son of God in the furnace with you? Well, Lord, I'm so, this is just too much for me. Lord, why are you allowing these things to happen to me? Why do I have to go through this? Because he wants to show them Jesus. Was there a better way to do it? Could they have gone there and started preaching to him and all of this kind of stuff? No, he wouldn't have listened to him. But he watched their lives. He watched what they did. He watched what they stood for. He saw their conviction. He saw their willingness to die. He saw their willingness to stand for what they believed in. He saw them go through the furnace, and he saw God in the midst of the furnace. Through the backdrop of those flames, the things that they went through the backdrop of those flames, it reflected the life of Jesus Christ. Through your flame, the backdrop of what you're going to go through. Is it going to reflect the Spirit of the Lord? Now, when they got out of the furnace, the Lord got out with them. They couldn't see him then. Only they could see him in the hearts of those men. May the Lord help us. All right. We can do that, can't we? Let's go to a few other scriptures and we'll close out. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. We've quoted it, but you have, if you have it, get it for us.
Beloved,
think it not strange. Oh, do you ever, you know, I go through some strange things that we kind of feel like a little bit weird. Why? Where did that come from? He said, think it not strange. Beloved, think it not strange. Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you.
But rejoice.
Inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Continue.
If you be reproached
for the name of Christ, happy are you. I'm going to be happy because I'm reproached. Lord, help us. All right. Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. You know, some folks think that what we stand for, what we believe in, doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It makes all the sense in the world to me. When you really clearly understand it, it makes all the sense in the world. All right, read.
But let none of you suffer as a murderer.
Don't suffer as a murderer.
As a thief.
As an evildoer.
Yes.
That's good enough. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. All right, let's go to another scripture. We'll, for closing, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. Yes?
Can no man lay?
What other foundation can no man lay
than
that is laid, which is Jesus Christ? Read.
Now, if any man
build upon this foundation, gold,
silver,
precious stones,
wood,
hay,
stubble,
every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, it shall be revealed by fire. So he's given us a warning. It's going to be tried. What are you going to go through? Don't think it's strange. Just be prepared for it. You know, there is something that we have. There are fire hydrants. There are sprinkler systems. One of the things that we had to do for our church, they required us to have a sprinkler system, a fire sprinkler, because there's maybe an anticipation that there's a possibility of a fire happening. And as a result of that, we want to be prepared. We trust it'll never happen, but we want to be prepared just in case, don't we? Well, in this situation, we're going to have some fiery trials. We're going to go through some difficult things. And the Lord is wanting us to be prepared for it. Doesn't catch us by surprise. And I'm all of a sudden, I'm shocked that this is what we're, oh, I'm having to go through this. You're going to go through some fiery trials and it's going to seem strange. Be prepared for it. Lord, help me to be prayed up. Help me to be ran up. Help me to understand what it is. Give me the resources to be able to put the, where I won't get burned and my clothes won't come out smelling of smoke. Then it'll just take off the bonds and the things that hold me back and give me a greater freedom. That's what I want in the trial. But I'm going to be tried. All right, read.
Now if any man shall build upon this foundation, gold, silver,
yes.
Wood,
yes.
Man's work shall be
manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Receiving the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our soul. Desire that you pray for us.